Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. I want to talk a little bit about what we saw over the weekend. It wasn't the greatest weekend in the world for me in terms of picks. I had a really bad Friday and Saturday. I did bounce back a little bit yesterday, but not to the extent that I would have liked. But we are recording this on Monday, January 5th at 10 a.m. Eastern. Hopefully we'll end up hitting some of these picks tonight. But before I get into that, I wanted to mention that the 76ers did hit a road win against the Knicks on Saturday, and what I believe was the biggest result that we saw over the weekend, and just for no other reason than that this team is starting to look pretty damn good when they do have Embiid out there, and Embiid's playing at least, you know, 75% of what he's capable of. This is not a guy that's, you know, moving really well anymore at the center spot. He doesn't, you know, have the same leaping ability, doesn't have the same movement on either end of the floor, but he's still capable of giving them something. And in that win over the Knicks, we saw Tyrese Maxey, Vijay Edgecombe, and Embiid combine to score 88 points. Paul George also did his part in the game. He had 15, 8, and 6. There was no Josh Hart in that game. That is a pretty good wing defender for New York. But I just kind of think that, you know, the Sixers team has won three in a row. I think that Embiid looks a little bit better than what he looked like early in the year. And when he's out there and playing decently, I think that this team is very, very dangerous. So Philly is a team that it's hard to say to put any of your hard-earned money on them, because you just know that at any moment Embiid can go, Paul George can go as well. But this team is definitely going to be tough for whoever they face in a best of seven in the postseason. And there's a reason that there are so many people that do believe that this team can make a run. It's because the talent on the roster is completely outrageous. I mean, the backcourt is tremendous with Tyrese Maxey and Edgecombe. And then, you know, you have McKay and you have Grimes. There's just a lot of really good guards. And then I do think that the wings, you know, and Embiid, they are good enough. Like if this team is just healthy heading into the playoffs, they are going to be a factor in the Eastern Conference. And I just feel like nobody's talking about them, so I wanted to give them a quick shout out. But yeah, it's going to depend on the health of this team, as it does every year. But if they are healthy, it's going to be a dangerous team. Another result that we saw that I thought was noteworthy was the Celtics went into LA and beat the Clippers by 20 plus points in a game where Jaylen Brown scored 50 points on 18 of 26 shooting and 6 of 10 3-point shooting. That was one of the most ridiculous games I've ever watched. I had the Clippers as a big play in that game, and Boston just was not missing. They knocked down 24 threes in the game. Brown was unguardable and also did some really good work defending Kawhi Leonard. And this Celtics team just continues to be really impressive. And in fact, they're a double-digit favorite against the Bulls today, and I kind of didn't want to talk about that game, but I do have a player prop on it, so I will talk about it a little. But this Boston team is very, very interesting to me in terms of looking at the long-term picture in the Eastern Conference, because it does seem like they are way too good to not bring back Jason Tatum if he is back and ready to go in March or April. So I think this is going to be a team that potentially gets back an absolute superstar in Tatum, and whatever he's able to give them, it won't be, you know, 100% of Tatum. Coming off an Achilles injury would be absolutely, you know, devastating for most players, but it has gotten a little bit easier with the advances, you know, in modern science. And they did say that, like, the way that Tatum got in there for surgery, like immediately after tearing it, made for a smoother recovery. So if he looks anything like Jason Tatum and he's able to give them 25 minutes, again, this is another team that you do not want to see in a best of seven. And I don't think that you even want to see the current version of the Celtics in that best of seven, because I do think that Joe Mazzulla is doing a wonderful job of coaching this team. And they've had so many players step up throughout the course of this season that they are going to be tough as well. Something else that I think is worth mentioning is, you know, Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon returned for the Nuggets. They did end up losing to Brooklyn yesterday. So, you know, not the greatest result in the return for those two, but I do think it's just noteworthy that they got two of their better players back. I think that they are going to kind of hold serve and play decent enough without Jokic to not completely fall out of the picture. I mean, I think that they're probably going to be a play-in team by the time that Jokic gets back, but if they are seven and they have 30 or so games to play, I think they're going to be fine. I've mentioned that a few times on this podcast, but those two guys came back a little bit earlier than I was expecting them to come back. And it just kind of shows you that if Jokic comes back, you know, he's healthy, they are going to have their full roster, and that should be a good thing for them. I think this is going to be a team that's going to be completely fine once they end up having, you know, the Joker back out there. And then the last thing I wanted to mention from the weekend is that the Bucks did win their last game. They won yesterday. They have now won 5 of their last 7 games. It was a win over the Kings, 115-98. It's not the most impressive thing in the world, and a lot of these wins have been over bad teams. Like, they seem to play the Hornets like every single night. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, this team has some really productive lineups, and I know that this, you know, is a situation where everybody wants Giannis to skip town. I've kind of been adamant over the, you know, the course of this season, at least on this podcast, that I think there's a chance that he can do some good things with Milwaukee still. Like, maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's after the offseason, because they're going to have 3 tradable first-round picks and they can add a really important piece to them and, you know, kind of become, you know, an Eastern Conference contender again. But just this season alone, they have 2 of the best 5-man units in the entire NBA, with one of them being Ryan Rollins, AJ Green, Kyle Kuzma, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Miles Turner. That unit is plus 40.7. Per 100 possessions in 128 possessions. It's the number 2 lineup in the entire NBA. And then one that has played a little bit more together and one that has played a little bit more together lately is Rollins, Kevin Porter Jr., AJ Green, Giannis, and Miles Turner. That unit's plus 20.1 per 100 possessions in 190 possessions. That's the number 13 most productive lineup in the NBA. And I just kind of say all that to say that, you know, I don't think that this stretch has been fluky. You know, 5-2 in the last 7 games. I know that I said that was against weak competition, but I think they can keep this up, because I think they've surrounded Giannis with enough shooting to make the offense very dangerous. And I think that there are some solid defenders in that starting 5, especially when you're talking about Rollins, Giannis, and Turner. Like, those are 3 guys that can definitely do some damage defensively. Turner's not as good as he was when he was with the Pacers, but he's still a good shot blocker. Doesn't move his feet as well on the perimeter, but still a productive player on that end of the floor. And then, yeah, like I said, there's just a lot of shooting outside of Giannis. So when teams load up and try to double him, he's kicking out to really good spot-up shooters. So I think this Milwaukee team is pretty solid, and I don't really think that Giannis should be in a rush to leave. I think that they're going to be able to build something around him, whether that's this year with the, you know, one of these smaller moves that we're talking about at the trade deadline. Like, they've been linked to guys like Zach LaVine, Malik Monk. I don't know what that makes a difference for them. Maybe LaVine would. I do think LaVine's a little bit better than people give him credit for. I know that he's considered an empty calories guy, but I do think that he's a solid player and a really good shooter. So if you could get him like for very, very cheap without having to give up, you know, a valuable first round pick, I say go for it. But I just think that this team is a little better than people seem to think. I think that everyone's trying to run Giannis out of town, but I don't think that the Bucks are as bad as, I don't know, as the public seems to make them out to be. But I do want to get into tonight's games, because we do have a bunch of them. Like I said, I want to skip a couple of them like I always do. The ones I'm going to skip are the Hornets versus the Thunder. This is a game where OKC is favored by just a huge amount of points. I think it's 16+. And they are coming off of a loss to Phoenix last night, so they're going to be hungry. But then you're also looking at a Nuggets-Sixers game where I just have no idea what the Nuggets are going to do. Like, the Sixers are favored big, and they are probably going to be facing a Nuggets team that's going to sit some guys. Like I said yesterday, they got Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon back, but I'd be surprised if they end up playing those guys in the second leg of a back-to-back. So I just didn't know what to do with that game. So that's why I wanted to skip it. But I want to start with the Knicks at the Pistons. This game tips at 7 p.m. Eastern. And this is a game where I really like the Knicks on the money line at minus 135. And I played it to win 1.5 units. The Pistons are coming off the loss in Cleveland. A tough win in Cleveland yesterday. And it was a game where they did not have Jalen Duren, Tobias Harris, or Caris LeVert. And that's not going to get better here. I mean, Tobias Harris is going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, and Jalen Duren is going to be reevaluated in 1 week. He has an ankle injury. So this is a team that's not healthy at the moment. Meanwhile, the Knicks got Mitchell Robinson back last game. That means they're going to have a massive edge in the paint with Cat and Mitchell Robinson out there and no Duren for the Pistons. I think there's a chance that New York really dominates the glass and just really just kind of dominates around the basket. I think that those two guys can both have really efficient days scoring. You know, and I do think that this is a game where, you know, the Knicks are missing Josh Hart again. That stings defensively. But with the Pistons missing some key offensive pieces, I think they're going to struggle to create looks. And I know I've said that a few times over the last 2 weeks or so, and they've kind of shut me up a few times. But without some of their key offensive players, I'm not sure you can rely on them to just continue to play efficient basketball offensively, even with Cade being, you know, magnificent. But Cade's also coming off a game where he played 37 minutes against the Cavs. He could be a little fatigued here. And The Knicks are coming off of three straight losses, so I think they're going to be desperate for a victory. And this has also been a team that's been good against elite competition this season under Mike Brown. They're 3-1 straight up when facing teams with winning percentages of 70% or better. So I do think this is a really good spot for New York. I think that the rest favors them a little bit, and I do think that the spot in terms of them being, you know, kind of coming off a couple of losses, they will be hungry to get in the win column, especially in a game that's kind of a showcase for the Eastern Conference. Like, the Knicks definitely want to go out there and prove that they are the best team in the East. The next game, it's the Bulls at Celtics. Game tips at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I normally would not want to talk about this game because the Celtics are laying 11.5, and I try to skip the games where, you know, one of the teams is like laying double digits. It's just we try to keep this show to 30 minutes or less. Sometimes we have some exceptions, but it's hard to talk about every single game. So the ones to skip are naturally the ones where a team is laying double digits, just because those are just not as exciting to talk about. But I do have a player prop in this game, which is why I'm forcing it in. I do like Luka Garza to go over 14.5 points, rebounds, and assists at minus 105. And that might seem like a little bit of a random one. It's the backup center on the Celtics, so you never know what you're going to get in terms of minutes. But I do think this is a really strong matchup for Garza, who has played pretty well lately. Over the last seven games, he's averaging 18.3 points, rebounds, and assists. So he has been productive for Boston lately. I think, you know, Mazzulla has gotten him to play a little bit better defensively. Like, everyone on this team early in the season was kind of on watch because Mazzulla was benching everybody that was not playing defense. So if you're not sliding your feet, you're not showing effort, he wasn't playing you. Garza realized that. He's been a little bit better about it lately. I mean, there are some physical limitations for him defensively. He's not, you know, the quickest player in the world, so he's never going to be a great defender. But as long as he's showing effort, Mazzulla is going to continue to play him. And this is a really good matchup for a player like Garza, because the Bulls, have said this a lot on this podcast, are the worst team in the NBA when it comes to defending at the rim. And Garza is a really good finisher in the paint, whether that's, you know, as a pick and roll like roller, where the Bulls are also 29th in the league defensively, or just kind of a putback player. He has really good touch around the basket. He could take advantage of the Bulls not having a shot blocker. And he's also, you know, a pretty good three-point shooter. And this Chicago team is 20th in the NBA defending above the break three. So I could see Garza just kind of getting some good looks from, you know, the non-corners. And I think he's also a threat to kind of dish a little bit in this game. He's been a solid passer when he's had a chance to play for this team. So if he plays 20 plus minutes, I think he's going to put up some numbers, and 14.5 is very, very low for a PRA total. The next game I want to talk about is the Hawks at the Raptors at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Raptors are 2.5-point favorites in this game. Total is 234.5, and this is another game where the Hawks are going to be playing without Trae Young, and that kind of makes me lean Raptors. I know that a lot of people think Atlanta's better without Trae, and statistically it definitely looks like they are, so maybe that's a reason to say that you should back the Hawks here, but I do think that the Raptors playing at home should find a way to get this job done, but I am not going to be taking Toronto in this game. What I actually took in this game was Nikhil Alexander-Walker over 3.5 assists, and that's available at plus 130. I just think that this is a, you know, a matchup where, you know, the Raptors are a pretty solid team defensively and a pretty unique team defensively. They are very, very aggressive on the ball. They try to get the ball out of the ball handler's hands. So, like, naturally you would think that that would be Alexander-Walker. He is the lead guard for this team when Young doesn't play, but it could also be Jalen Johnson because he brings the ball up a lot. And I just think that there's still going to be a lot of plays where, you know, Na is serving as, you know, the primary ball handler for this Hawks team in the half court. He's going to have some opportunities to make some plays. And while he has not really been productive as a passer lately, he's only had 3 assists in each of the 3 games he's played without Trae Young over the last 3. He did have 8 plus potential assists in 2 of those 3 games, and he's averaging 8.5 potential assists in the 2 games he's played without Trae Young against this Raptors team. And I just kind of feel like if you average, you know, borderline 9 potential assists against an opponent, like, you're eventually going to get better shot making luck. And at plus 130, I'm willing to just kind of bank on that against this Raptors team here, especially with Atlanta being pretty healthy outside of Trae, you know, and having Porzingis, a good 3-point shooter out there, that should help. I just think that, you know, it's at a certain point, like, these potential assists do turn into real assists. If you're giving the ball to your teammates in positions to score, at some point that's going to work out for you. So I feel like at plus 130, this is just worth a shot, even if the numbers kind of don't suggest that it's the greatest play in the world. But I just want to mention quickly that you should be starting the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting splits on DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from the college football playoffs and NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Start the new year with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And I've mentioned it before on this podcast. If you enjoy tennis at all, I'm doing a lot of tennis handicapping. That started for me a couple of days ago, already up a little bit. So definitely head over to vsin.com if you are a VSiN Pro, or if you're interested in becoming a VSiN Pro and you like tennis, because I'm putting out like 3 to 10 days a day. The tennis schedule is just absolutely insane, and I live for handicapping that. So definitely head over there if you have any interest at all in that sport. But let's move on now to the Suns at the Rockets at 8 p.m. Eastern. The Rockets are laying 8.5 points in this game. The total is 222.5. I don't have anything in this game, but I do have some leans that I thought would be worth mentioning. And one of them is Phoenix plus 8.5. I mean, the Suns are coming off a really big win over the Thunder last night, where they just continue to look really impressive on both ends of the floor. And that's the type of game where you usually get a letdown performance the next day. But I do kind of wonder if this Suns team is, you know, mentally tough enough to come out there and just kind of put it behind them and try to get another win, especially with Kevin Durant, you know, being on the other side. I do think there's going to be some motivation here. And the Rockets are playing without Alperen Şengün. They also have Steven Adams questionable. So I do think this is a game where you're taking away one of the biggest advantages that this Houston team has, which is the offensive rebounding and the kind of force that they play with around the basket. And then I just kind of think that the Suns match up pretty well everywhere else. So this is a game where I think that the Suns can stay within the number. I'm just interested in seeing what happens with Mark Williams, because Williams has been so good on both ends of the floor for Phoenix this year. And they usually do not play him on the second leg of back-to-backs, but he only played 21 minutes against OKC last night. So wouldn't shock me if he's out there and just playing limited minutes. But that's another reason why, in addition to the Suns plus 8.5 being a lean for me, I'm also really interested in seeing some of the numbers for Oso Iguodaro props, because he has played really well and just kind of filled up the stat sheet whenever he has played 20-plus minutes for this Suns team. And there's a really good chance he does that tonight if Williams is either out or just kind of on a minutes restriction because of the way that they're managing his workload this season. So I could see Iguodaro putting up some good numbers again. And I also mentioned, like, it would have been tough for him to go against this, you know, Rockets front court at full strength, because, you know, Şengün's really big. Adams, if he's out there, is the guy that can kind of bully him around a little bit. Iguodaro is an undersized center, but I do think if they are missing some of those bodies, he can continue to kind of be a presence on the glass, do a little bit of, you know, some passing. Like, he is a really good kind of playmaking hub for this Suns team at the center spot. And then also a decent finisher on pick and roll, is a guy that can put, you know, score on putbacks. So I just think there's a chance that he puts up some numbers. So I'll be keeping an eye out for his player prop totals, which I did not see when I was recording just yet. Another game that I really like, one of the sides, is Warriors at Clippers at 10 p.m. Eastern. I mentioned earlier that Boston went into L.A. and just kind of blitzed this Clippers team, but it was really nothing that had to do with the Clippers' performance. I was watching that game, and the Celtics just weren't missing threes, and they were hitting some absolutely outrageous ones. Brown, specifically, was just hitting everything he was throwing up, even if they were bad shots. So it's not enough for me to just kind of back off the Clippers, who were on a 6-game winning streak heading into that one. They've been a really good covering team over the last, like, 3 weeks now. I think this LA team is legit. I'm not going to overreact much to the loss to Boston. So I really like the Clippers at plus 100 in this game against the Warriors. And this is another one that I'm playing to win 1.5 units. So that means I'm risking 1.5 units because it's plus 100. And I will just say that, like, I think that this Golden State team doesn't have the speed or, like, the 3-point profile of that Celtics team. So I'm not sure that they can kind of make the Clippers defense look slow and old the way that the Celtics were. And I do just kind of think that, looking at the recent, you know, stretch of games, the last 10 specifically, the Clippers have just been much better. I mean, looking at the offensive rating for Los Angeles over the last 10 games is 121. Golden State's is down at 116.4. And in that same stretch, the defense has been pretty much identical for these teams. So you're talking about a Clippers team that I think is just much better on offense. And they got Ivica Zubac last game, so they're getting healthier. And then there's some trends that I think are interesting, with the Warriors being 62-79 straight up under Steve Kerr in road games and lines of +3 to -3. So these have not been great spots for them under Kerr. And then the Clippers are 8-5 straight up at home under Ty Lue when coming off a home loss by 20+. And, you know, they did just lose to the Celtics big. So I think there's a really strong chance we just see the Clippers bounce back and get right back to winning games the way that they were before all these injuries. And then the last game of the night that I wanted to mention is the Jazz at the Blazers. Game tips at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Blazers are 5.5-point favorites at DraftKings. Total is 241.5. I should mention I've been reading DraftKings lines, so if you're seeing different numbers elsewhere, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And you might see different numbers by the time you are listening to this podcast because the numbers do change. But 5.5-point favorites are the Blazers at DraftKings at the time of recording. And this is a game where I have a really strong lean on the Jazz. And I just want to wait until closer to tip-off because I want to see if Utah pulls any funny business with Lauri Markkanen or Keontae George, because George, I believe, has been so good for them that he's starting to get the Markkanen treatment where you're going to see him as a late add to the injury report as this team potentially looks to tank. They're kind of towing the line right now between going all in on a tank or competing for a play-in spot. And with the actions that we've seen over the last week or so with them, you know, sitting guys, it does look like they would prefer to be drafting, which is not surprising. This is a team that still very much wants to add talent, but it's hard to do that when you have George and Markkanen out there. But this is a game where if those two guys do end up playing, I'm not even sure the Jazz should be getting points in Portland. I know that this Blazers team can be really solid. I know that Denny Avdia has been great, but they're still playing without Jrue Holiday. They're still playing without Scoot Henderson. And without Holiday especially, this is a team that is really not as good defensively as it wants to be. For like a defensive-minded team to be missing your best point of attack defender, that's really tough. And I'm just not sure this team is good enough offensively for me to really see why they should be laying a big number against a Utah team that I genuinely think is just flat out better than the Blazers when they are fully healthy. So I'm keeping an eye on the injury report for this game. If George and Markkanen, both of them, are out there, I will jump on Utah in some way, shape, or form. So make sure before tip-off to head over to vsin.com. I occasionally add things very late. I should also mention before I just throw that out there, but that the Jazz are 73-46 against the spread as underdogs of 3.5 to 9.5 points under Will Hardy. They are also really productive on longer road trips under Hardy. Not something that you generally see out of young teams, but 23-11-1 against the spread when playing 3 road games in a span of 5 days. So the rest, you know, situations does not seem to bother this team, at least when you're talking about, you know, bigger spreads. And I've just always said that Hardy is a coach that you can trust when his team is getting a lot of points. But yeah, I think this is a game that the Jazz really can win outright. So just very interested in seeing the injury report here. Even if it's like 3.5 and those guys are fully out there, I'd be interested in jumping on the Jazz. But I do hope that we can get like 6, 6.5 either way. Just head over there, head over to vsin.com, look at the Pro Picks page. Make sure you're checking out my Twitter, Betting on X. I will talk about this game or I'll tweet if I add a pick. But yeah, I definitely have a really strong lean to the Jazz. It was like almost a play for me. I just didn't want to get burned by the injury report. Before we wrap up with some of our best bets, attention any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Let's wrap up some of the plays I have for tonight. It is only 4 picks for me as of right now, but I mentioned I could very well add some, so head over to vsin.com. I will have sides and totals up in one story. I'll have player props up in another, and I will add to those stories if I add picks, and I will add to the Pro Picks page if I add them as well. But I do, as of right now, have the Knicks money line -135 to win 1.5 units against the Pistons. I have Luka Garza over 14.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -105 against the Bulls. I have Nikhil Alexander-Walker over 3.5 assists at +130 versus the Raptors. And I have the Clippers money line at +100, risking 1.5 units versus the Warriors. So it's those 4 plays for me for today. Hopefully we build on yesterday and we don't keep up what I saw on Friday and Saturday. 2 rough days for me. I want to get back in the win column. I want to keep climbing towards +20 units on the season. That's a goal of mine. So definitely want to get there, sooner rather than later. But Slow and steady wins the race, so I'll take any profit we can get, and hopefully we see some profits tonight. But make sure you join me for the Tuesday show of Hardwood Handicappers. I think I will be joined by Kelly Bidlin. He was nursing an illness last week, so I don't know if he's going to be back, but hopefully we have him, you know, talking, bounce some ideas off of. But either way, we will be back with a Tuesday show, so make sure you join me, and good luck with your bets tonight.